Good morning. This is our Friday conversation with Kurt Walzer and Cheryl Spaulding for Joseph's People. Kurt, we talked about the families and the need for a job, but what does it mean to have a job or not to have a job and how that affects the family. Can you expand on that?
I was just thinking about myself. We live in our society, and we're no longer agriculture society, where people basically were farmers and they were growing food and selling the food, and most of the time people spent on finding food and provide for shelter. Now we go to school and learn the skill, and then hopefully the skill we have, someone will hire us and give us a fair wage so we can have housing, shelter, and food. And of course now we need transportation. And of course, when we have families, we need more. It's not just one person. We raise our children and they cost. And when we lose our job, it really affects us. How are we going to provide for the basic needs? And that creates a great level of anxiety. And another thing is, in terms of what skills we have, it also gives us a level of importance and recognition. Many years ago, when you went to college, you assumed you get a better-paying job. I guess it's still true.
Not so much. Not
maybe
as much
not
as it
much,
used to be.
And
yeah.
You had a level of status. And where I grew up, let's say a woman married a doctor, she was called Frau Doctor, or Mrs. Doctor.
Really?
Yeah. Even she didn't have the degree.
But she picked
but,
up the status
but
of
that
being
was,
a doctor.
I mean, even still, what professions have high status?
Yeah.
And it's still true, money still impresses the world. It has been there probably all. And when we lose that, it doesn't affect us getting the food and shelter. Also, our status goes down. Then we have to ask ourselves, well, is this life? And we also seem to forget the fact that our life has a limit. We are born and we end, and all our ancestors happen to them, and I'm not an ancient. I can not deny it, the end will be here too. So the question is, how do I structure my life so it's worthwhile? Because at the end will you lose everything.
The other thing that I was thinking about along those lines was, and I see this with some Joseph's People, I think they take a harder hit, because at least when you were an agrarian society, you were working from home and you saw each other all day long and you had a close, tight family relationship with the people in your family and maybe even the people in your community. Now, you all go in different directions in the morning. You come back at night, maybe you have a couple of hours together. Maybe you have a couple hours on the weekend, but the strength of that bond, I don't think it's as strong as it was when we were working from our property at home. Or, you know, you were a blacksmith and you had your kids and everybody worked from that place. That has to make this all harder.
Well, it is. I mean, I grew up in an agrarian family and you were a unit and you work was visible and you depended on nature and you know, you were very vulnerable to the weather. So there is something, you couldn't control your crop. There were so many factors which could interfere. So there was an element of humility. And of course, we knew there was always food. I remember we were thankful. Of course, I was a baby when World War II was on and everything was rationed. You know, they had always had something to eat. And then, of course, family was always there. Our parents were always there. And so there's no question the industrialization, you lost something in terms of the family unit, and you have to bring the children to someone else to watch while you work. And who has still a plot in the backyard to grow a little food, just as a backup? So that's my experience. Of course, that is true as a people who are in that situation. Maybe it is harder. And then who's your community? Usually your family becomes the work family often. See these people every day. You spend more time with those people than you have your biological family.
And now, I mean, I have neighbors that aren't geographically close to me. I know them, but I don't know them. I know who they are. I know, hi, how are you? But I certainly would not say that I know them or could depend on them.
Where I live now, we have some neighbors, there's mutual help, you know, when you need something. And a tool, or I was just visiting my daughter. They live on an island. They still have that. Everybody knows
everybody else.
And of course, there's an informal grapevine. The news travels faster than what's in the news. And
that's how it was when I used to visit my mother, who lived in apartments in Cape May. I don't know how many apartments were in those couple of buildings, but they were all elderly. They all knew I was there, and they all wanted to know how long was I staying, and what was I doing, and it was like within a day, everybody in the entire apartment complex knew who I was and where I was when I was there.
Again, if you know your neighbor, of course, then you have a human contact. And then we talk about in modern times, you're in immigrant countries, and the whole world is in America, actually, in groups. And if you don't interact with them, you always think they're so different.
Well,
the language is different, but
you're
basically
still human beings.
We are the same. Yes, and
human beings.
And it was interesting when I was in Seattle, when my brother's daughters went to a play school. They were about 3 and 5. And we picked them up. They were, you know, they were Chinese little kids, India, Americans, they were Swiss, and they were Robert. And then they asked the little girls, well, how do you talk to each other? Well, we just talk and we play.
Yeah.
So they didn't know, it didn't make much difference, and they spoke in their own language. And then it's interesting, when they came home, they played, and then they spoke English when they played together.
Oh, and then when they come home, they speak their other language.
Even at home, they played in English.
Oh, in English.
Home. So I thought, isn't that great if we could be like kids again, like a nice old difference.
And they don't.
No, because
prejudice is learned.
And then, of course, we teach them these are bad people, these are better people, these belong to this religion, and these people are Republicans, and these are Democrats. And then I was also thinking in terms of going to work, we want fair wages. We don't want to be exploited. And if you look at history, there was always exploitation and fights. What is fair wages? And I recently read a study, which countries prosper. And it was interesting, the researcher says when there is little corruption, there is the rule of law, there are fair wages, and no excess profits. And then basically the whole country profits. And then countries which do not do well is high level of corruption, no justice, and it was kind of interesting.
And I think true from the experience of America.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I think that's true. And we're not exactly in that same place now, maybe.
You know, we see signs when I mean, there's byproducts, it says fair trade. You know, where the farmer at least gets something, usually the farmer gets one part and the rest gets, you know, if we divide it in 10 sections, the farmer gets one. So there's still then the human qualities. We want to be treated fairly with some dignity and respect and not exploited. And
I said something in an article recently that I put on LinkedIn. It was actually about H-1B, and it was about the fact that an H-1B worker, the permission that they have to be here, it does not belong to them, it belongs to the company.
Yes.
Not to them.
Yes.
And I made some comment that that was, in my view, basically a kind of slave labor, because you're tied to the company, you can't leave. And somebody took it to task and said, you know, you're hearkening back to the days of cotton and slavery. And I thought, well, you know, in some ways, that's true. I mean, I would not call it slavery, I might call it
indentured servitude.
Yeah, indentured servitude. There's a lot of that. And that's probably part of the problem. One of the things that we try to tell people in Joseph's People, and it's hard to do, is because there is so little time with your family, is to get your family involved in something, your entire family. It doesn't really matter what it is. In our family, we sail. In my daughter's family, they do, not Taekwondo, I forget what they call it, one of those things. Something in which everybody in the family is involved. I think that's helpful. Even the church.
We did a program at Family Service many years ago. It was very popular and we got some funding. It was families and schools together. So what they did is, and it was for below third grade, identified the child was struggling in school. Mm-hmm. And then we asked the family to participate in the program, the whole family. Everybody. And
okay.
They came to school. It was interesting. We taught them have a meal together. And it's interesting, many families never eat together.
Yeah, they don't.
That's kind of, you know, where you bonding around food. Mm-hmm. And even if you talk to some people, they say, well, my grandmother used to cook this. And, you know, the memory and food.
Oh, memory and food is a huge issue.
And you mentioned that at Christmas when you make those.
And I'm about to make them tomorrow.
So we taught them that, and then also a family project, like they did some kind of a family flag, and where the parent could be single parent or significant other. And also the siblings too, they did the project as a group, as a family, so really get connection. And then later on, play, doing games or board games or whatever. And in the program, then they divided the identified child, singled them out with the parent, and the parent had to play with that child, not tell the child what to do, like follow the child's lead.
Okay.
And many parents didn't know how to do that because no one ever played with them.
Wow.
So they learned how to sit on the floor and play, be like a child, and not be told what to do and that's stupid and all this. It's play is play.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. The children liked it so much, they always reminded the parents, well, today is our night. Remember, Mom.
Don't forget, this is our family night. Wow.
Yeah, and the outcomes were terrific. The children improved, so there is that connection.
I can see that in Joseph's People members. The people who seem to weather the storm the best are the ones that circle the wagon. You know, it's my family, and now we'll circle the wagon. So, you know, my 20-year-old son can contribute a little money, and my wife is working.
Yeah.
And or if it's a younger one, I'm going to watch the kids while you work because you can work and I can't. But it's devoid of anger and blame. We're a family, and we're being attacked from the outside, which we all know we're not responsible for the outside.
Yeah.
They're the healthiest.
Well, they learned those skills, and it's just the families, they just pass it on. It's just kind of a natural thing, and those are those things which many families lost. And then the ones who lost it would have to start their own traditions. And the ones who are fortunate, they would just kind of pass down the generations. But they're saying, you know, passing the good and the bad to the offspring. And when we are fortunate, we have some goods. What was passed on, which was very useful.
At least when I look at my family and when I look around, I think part of what's lost is that we've taken all the older people and we've put them in homes. We've disenfranchised them from the family. In my family, my mother lived with us for a good part of her life.
And in an agricultural society, you could have them around, but now when both husband and wife work and the children are gone and then you basically, someone has to be around.
And see, I had the advantage of working in a business, even when I was in business, of having an office at my house.
And they have them around, and that adds another problem. You separate them out and, oh, you would have to give up your job. And so it's the human elements. In that sense, to be human is more difficult.
We're not set up as a society to help families. We're really not. You have a baby and you work, you got to go back to work in, what is it, 6 weeks? I don't know, the family leave is in, but I think it's better than that. But it's still not anywhere near Europe. Yeah. We're not set up to help these families. Forgetting the job and the money routine. I've always thought, I have a friend who's in a very large, she's elderly and she's in a very large complex. Very expensive, a great deal of money. And it's beautiful, but it's isolated.
Yeah.
So why don't they put a daycare center there? You know, I mean, they have nothing to
they
do.
They actually found that where they have some of the modern city planning, where they have put them with the general population, not segregating them out. The older people have time, and then...
They have the time to sit down with the
kids.
And
if they're like children, they're great. If you remember your grandparents, and they were child-friendly, terrific memories.
Yeah.
So again, that is important to think about our total life.
And you can create, you don't have to be handing down traditions from ancient times. You can create brand new traditions.
Yeah, adjusting to wherever you live.
Yeah. I hope that's some of what we do in Joseph's People. Because, you know, our mission is not just to get the person a job, but to support the family.
Well, you do, because if you just look at your, is it called the guidebook?
The Blue Guide.
The Blue Guide. I mean, you really...
The journey.
The journey you point, it's a kind of like a journey of life. And the fact that you include the spiritual component and the psychological component, we are thinking, feeling human beings, and we are not robots. If a computer is unemployed, it doesn't whine in the corner.
No, it doesn't.
it doesn't
feel anything.
Switch it off.
Right, and it's gone.
What you put in, you get out if it works.
Well... I think if I had to say our advice from this conversation would be that I would take away from it that you got to circle the wagons with your family. You've got to create for yourself.
Again, I was blessed having had that childhood experience, which has been kind of just a natural thing in you, and then you just...
Now, I have the reverse experience, because I'm an only child of an only child of an only child, and single mother, so... I didn't come from that, so I created that. So I don't have a previous generation of the wagon circle, but I very much have a circle of the wagons now. My daughter-in-law laughs because she says, if you swung a cat in Chester County, you'd hit Spalding. We had our family. They married. They brought all their parents from Maryland and from New Jersey. They're all back here. Jim's brother moved here. So we've created the cousins, the eight cousins.
Well, I think
probably that's a reaction to not having it.
No, but that's a very important point, too. You can create.
You can create.
And, you know, some families who are so destructive, you're better off leaving them and create an alternative.
Yeah, true.
So,
basically,
we just have to think about it, what would feel right and good.
But you can do it. It doesn't have to be that you had it from before.
A big thing was always helpful when I used to struggle with certain things. I would ask myself, well, who says so I have to do it this way? And then suddenly you start thinking, well, think about it or reflect about it. Who says you've got to do it this way?
Well, see, I never had that.
You see, then that's why then that creativity allows to come forth.
I never had that because nobody ever was able to tell me because there was nobody.
Well, see, that's an advantage.
It is an advantage. Plus, being an only child, you know, everything that's mine is mine. Everything that's yours is mine. Everything that I want is mine.
Plus, you had to rely on your creativity when you were bored. You know, there was no one else around to fight with.
Or blame. I know. I watched that with my granddaughters. I think you have no idea how blessed you are. You have a sister you can blame everything on. I think this was a good
So the idea is to have some fun, you know.
Life is short. I'm on that same end that you are. Closer to the end than I was than I am to the beginning.
Yeah.
By a long stretch. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.